things to be proud of. You're our healer, you're our redeemer, Jesus. We so declare that we come together not to sing song and sing to the roof, but we know we stand in the presence of the living God. And I ask Lord this morning that as we stand here, as we receive from you, Holy Spirit, as you lead us into more truth, and all those things that we started doubting, whether or not you are the healer, where you are, whether or not you are what's in your power, whether or not you are in control, all those things of which we're going to lay at your feet, all those doubts, Lord, we want to ask that you just come renew our minds and we can see who you are, Jesus. That we can declare, not just of our lives, but of our circumstance, that you are enough. Because in everything that we need, you are there, Lord. As we search for you, as we look towards you, as we seek your face in our circumstance, Lord, that you're more than capable and more than willing to take us by the hand and take us through those difficult times, Lord. And when we're going through those green pastures in which you have taken us and led us to, Lord, that we will not forget that at the end of the day, you're all that it is. That our treasures do not lie in those green pastures, but they lie with you in eternity, Jesus. And that we never stop just having thankfulness at the tip of our tongue. Every morning when we wake up, that we are thankful for the breath. That each day you renew us by your Spirit. And I ask this morning, Holy Spirit, that you will just come work in us again. That you'll start ministering to us. And you'll start bringing those things before us that cause us to be offended. Because we're not understanding what your love truly is, Lord. That cause us to be hurt. All those things, Lord, I pray that this morning you'll just minister to us. That you'll send your Spirit to come minister to our hearts and bring that healing. That renewing our minds, that we can look at you with unveiled face in you. Not through clouded goggles and spectacles that are just clouded with hurts and letdowns and disappointments, Lord. Because we've looked towards the wrong things and we're still looking at you, Jesus. That you're not requiring us to fight our own battles on the side, but you're asking us to stay with you. That those who are in Christ have no condemnation. Our children of God, may we stay in you, Jesus. Is linger here this morning? Linger. I thank you, Lord, that you know, as we go into this word, there will be a refreshing this morning. Since there's so many tired bodies, Lord, and more so that all the minds that are clouded this morning, that are distracted, I pray in Jesus' name, just for clarity this morning. For unclouding of his mind, so that Holy Spirit, you can start bringing that word straight into the heart, that the mind will not distract from what you want to do in the heart this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, President. Thanks, Mother. Morning. Those of you who don't know, busy, my name's Kurt. Yes, I'm out of school and I have done a little bit of studying, so I don't know, do not be deceived by this. God has been good to me. At least here, I think I'll rejoice inside my feels so young. Yeah, the joints and stuff don't feel so young, but at least I can pretend. I've been the youth pastor for those who are new here visiting, the youth pastor in Stellenbosch for the last 4 years. God has had to keep me young, because the youth, every year, it's a completely different world and generation. I'm like, but that was cool last year. It was so last year. So fortunately here with you guys, I can dress kind of my age and not feel like a complete outcast. The youth is like skinny jeans, and I always skinny jeans, my legs are skinny enough, so they make up for the skinny jeans department. So we just had our summer camp now, which was awesome. I've got really the a great work. The greatest work you did is to keep me alive for the whole thing, because it was tiring. So that was a great work. I sat here in bed every day and I was really thankful for that. But one of the things leading up to the camp, God really laid on my heart a lot about his love. Our misunderstandings about his love, and what love really is. You know, and there's, we think we know what love is. But I just came to the realization, I read some songs again, and Song of Solomon, some translations, and wow, interesting book. Definitely age restricted. But then there's little things that jumped up in there. So the whole thing is just literally a love story. You know, God brings bride and the response to the bride. Really amazing, you know, just metaphor for God's love. You know, there's one thing that jumped up at me, just the one scripture where the one being rude, being hunted down, just as your banner over me is love. And for some reason, we've read that scripture a million times, we use it in everything, but something just jumped out of me, and I was just kind of like, well, why is this standing out for me? I mean, you use it a million times, every intercession you go into, you become a prayer march, you're like, banner is love, and you use it so often. I was like, what is it mean? It just struck me at that point. It's not just a matter of that, oh, each one of us, what is strong, and over them is love. The fact is, it's not. You're guilty. It's not judgment. It's not you're not worthy. It's just love. One word, love. And I was like, yes, though. And what struck me then is that we really don't understand what that means. Because when you like in our sin, you are guilty apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. Whether you kill someone, whether you just hold one white lie, we are all guilty apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. If it were not for his blood, we would all be sitting in a frying pan right now. We're not right now, but we die with him. We'd all be in the lake of fire. You know, that's the truth. And this is an eternal burden message, but it's just the truth. His grace meant that despite the fact that we are guilty in his life, he makes us not guilty. And that banner over us that it says love, that's the only thing God wants us to understand. Because in that is a fulfillment of every other thing. Every other law is fulfilled in that one thing, love. The scripture says, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, strength, toes, head, everything. Love with everything. Love God. Do not be, and that's the greatest commandment, everything else. Okay? It falls into that category. It's amazing that Jesus says that. He says, love God. He doesn't say, obey God. He doesn't say, he says it in other areas. But all of that, the obedience, everything, is encapsulated in that one word, love God. And from that stems the ability to interact in the world. In love. It starts with that. It doesn't even start. Jesus doesn't say, fear God and tremble, and then you'll be able to live a better life. But, he could have, because we know that there is a fear of God and all those things, but he just says, love God in your mind. But the problem is, we don't know what that means. We don't, I mean, I'm not going to pretend I'm going to give you an exegetical Hindi sermon, those of you know Hindi, of the five Greek meanings for love. All that sort of stuff. I'm just gonna be like, this is what God revealed to me. This is literally my testimony about a good worship over this wall. And just how deeply, when they were singing the second last song, terrible song names. I used to have any particular song under the sun before I gave my life to the Lord. I mean, I knew the words, I could hear the song once and already I knew the words. Now, it just moves me, but I can never remember the name of the song. But anyway, and that really just hit me. When we were singing this part of God's love, literally, I could not sing the song. I was, not because I understood what it means, but because it's so great, I didn't understand what it means. And that excited me. And that's the magnitude, the depth and breadth of God's love is beyond my understanding. And it's exciting. But it's not just there for us. And so the title of our message is Unrelenting Love. You know, because we often used to think God is all loving. You know, we use the term unconditional love, and we see some people like, oh, we can say unconditional. Yes, it doesn't say unconditional love. That says many other things. That points to the fact that isn't conditional, except for the fact that you're positioning to Him. That's it's not the fact that you found love, or He doesn't have love for you. It's just where are you in proximity to that love? Are you playing in the streets outside, or are you in the house? You know, but then we say God is all loving. But then here comes the trick, especially in this world. Is God all loving when your mother's dying of cancer? Is God all loving when you get retrenched at work? Is God all loving when there's infidelity in marriage? God, how can you let this happen? I've been serving you my whole life. I thought you loved me. How can you do this to me? How can you hurt me?
like this. I'm not your daughter, I'm not your son, how can you help me like this? God, I've been praying for my mother forever. But yet she's lying in pain on the bed. Are you not? I thought you were loving God. How could you do this to me? And scripture doesn't give variance. It just says, God is love. But we find it hard to understand. And I'm going to go through that. I'm going to let the end go. We at least understand why our goggles are so blurred when we look through them. We try to look with love in our eyes. Love in our heart, but we can't. So hopefully by the end we'll get some of that. But the word that came up to me, I was sitting in the car, I don't know who heard that style that Kim Walker's went to see home. Yeah, one of the songs on there is Unstoppable Love. I'm sitting in the car and I'm listening to that, I just burst out of tears in the car. I'm like, what the heck? I'm such a loving guy, I'm so lovely. I've got a young face. Oh, you know, I'm not that intimidating. Why am I, every time I think about your love, I'm so great guy. The song came on and it just, and it talks about his unstoppable love and just how he pursues us with his love and we're warm to pursue us with his love. And then we just come to his love is unrelenting. Unrelenting love. And yeah, now I went to go, okay, before I start playing words, what does it actually mean? And it's amazing. When I went to go look at what does unrelenting mean? Not swerving in determination. Not easing or slacking in severity. This is a second definition. This is a definition of unrelenting. Now put in there, God's love. He's not swerving in determination to show us his love. He's not easing or slacking in the severity of his love for us. But when you think of it in that context, now this is a definition of a secular word. And God just let him on, my love is unrelenting. He's not slacking, his severity, the severity of his love doesn't change week in and week out. Again, scripture says in 1 John that God is love. He can't change the way he loves us, because he is love. When we're trying to find love outside of him, we're always going to fall short of what true love really is. But that's what we do. In our Psalm 89:14, you can read with me, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Steadfast love. Love that doesn't quit, that doesn't give up, that doesn't find alternatives. Steadfast, regardless of what comes back, or regardless of the response. Okay, but it's difficult for us to accept this. All of us. It doesn't matter how you're sitting here, how long you know God. There comes points in your life where it's difficult to believe that God loves us that much. It is extremely difficult. We're bombarded with this sermon every single day. Via the news, via Zoom speeches, there's a sermon being preached every single day. And more often than not, that sermon is saying, is God really that loving? Satan's not saying, did God really tell you not to eat that fruit? I'm saying, does God really love you that much? He says he does, but does he really? Start questioning it. As soon as you start questioning, you start doubting. So once doubt starts coming in, hope starts fading. You know what? Because it's a 4-week-old baby that got raped. How can God love? He's a 4-week-old baby that got raped. I was reading yesterday's stats, just to kind of realize stuff. It just came up to me, suicide rate over this time of the year. And we all know we've been meeting our suicide rates over the December period is extremely high. You know, a weekend, go Google it. There's a paper written by the blah 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 of the University of KwaZulu-Natal on suicidal behavior. And it's scary stuff. Because the majority of it was emphasizing the fact that suicide in teens and younger is increasing faster. Above age 35, 34. I mean, how scary is that? They say in there that they even, as part of the survey in South Africa, they've got recordings of children under the age of 10 committing suicide. I remember I was in school at Beaumont, I think it was standard four, so I said like grade 6. One of the guys in the class, amazing guy, played rugby with them, all that sort of stuff, standard 4, he committed suicide. His parents got divorced, his dad was in the ministry, they got divorced, his dad moved to Joburg, and for whatever reason, obviously there's not too much to be, he took his mom's car, and he ended up being the man of the house. He had a little sister, his mom was a teacher at the school. I don't know if anybody knows that, some people might be right there. And he took the car, my understanding, drove it to a field, and gassed himself. Standard 4. And that was a long time ago. Like I said, I'm a lot older than I look.
was a long time ago.
They say in the survey that from, I think,
you can go read yourself, but somewhere from like 2005 or a little bit later,
the suicide rate between ages of 15 and 19, 10 to 15, had gone up 10 to 20 times per year since, say, 2005. God is loving. Our children are dying, our children are taking lives, but God is all loving. So when we read that, we see that, we're like, I can't be. We find it harder and harder to stop walking in that love because we don't know what that love looks like. Because of all this sort of polluting of the old love. And it's not just those things that we experience, what we see on TV, what we're bombarded with, the books we read, all those things. And look, I love the good series every now and then, okay? But I know for a fact, it's something that I thought, it's such a lie. I don't believe I just let people walk up right there. Repent, Lord, wash it, and renew my blessings. Oh, thank you. But we give it a little by these things. Again, there's three things I'm going to look at. Now, when you can go in depth with this, you can go by ages. I'm just going to look at three things that really just jumps to mind when I first think about what are we being bombarded with? What are we being polluted with? Okay, so first of all, just love according to Facebook. I had originally love according to the world. I think Facebook pretty much rules the world right now, so if you want to know how people are feeling and what they think of various things, go check out Facebook, Twitter, and you'll be like, okay, is that what you think about that? Okay. According to the world, according to Facebook, love is a feeling. And then sometimes you hear it and you're like, oh, but it is, I know. Okay? There are things attached to love, yes. It comes in every now and then. Love primarily is not a feeling. Okay? Because when mom doesn't love dad anymore, she doesn't feel like she loves dad anymore. Yeah, it's just a feeling. So here we need a divorce. I don't feel like I love you anymore. We've been married for 55 years. I don't feel like I love you anymore, so we need to get a divorce. Okay? Yeah, he doesn't feel like showing affection and love towards his children today because he's tired from work. But dad, you're tired every day when you come from work. You're okay. I've got to make money for it, can't I? So my job is to buy, so that's how I'm showing I love you. But I don't feel like demonstrating that to you now. So love is a feeling according to the world. How you feel is how you present that love to those people. You know, walking in the street, someone, you know, is down and out there, they appeal to just if I'm really hungry. I want money, I don't need anything. You can tell this person's being sincere. You can tell this person really, life has just kicked him a couple of times on the ground, stood in his fingers, all that sort of stuff. He's really just in pain. I don't feel like showing compassion right now. I really don't. And it's okay to not feel like I'm tired from the road. I'm tired. I just had an argument with my wife at home. Whatever it is. I was at school and I'm getting bullied. So I really don't feel like showing love to anybody right now. That's quite cool. Love those who love you. Love those who love you. You know, we say all the nice things. You know, we often hear people use things so hard. I love that. You know, people in the world say that also. And do we really actually, do we demonstrate it? No, we don't. You know, my neighbor irritates me so much that dog of his is driving me crazy. Sometimes I think they get open by mistake on the busiest road in life. Oops. Okay? But it's okay. We don't get along anyway. You know, we're not really friends. There's his dog, I can see it. Is he crying? You know, but we don't get along, so it's okay. Okay? I love my wife, so, you know, I'm so good to her and I'm nice to her. Me and my neighbor, we don't really get along. We got work, you know, you forgot to log off his computer and the invoice from his last stuff is still on there and you could get fired because of it. But, you know what? He makes it on bed. You know, he said that thing about me the other day. He jumped ahead of me in the promotion queue and all that sort of stuff. You know, he's a little bit more cutthroat than me, so we don't get along, so no, I'm just going to leave his computer on. It's none of my business. You know? Love does love you. That's what the world says. Don't be thoughtful. You know, look up for yourself. If he doesn't want to get along with you, boom, that's his other baby. Yeah? And then the most terrible thing that the world's managed to do, and this I'm talking about to you now as believers also, the world has told us that love and lust, they can be interchangeable. Yeah. It's hard to kind of separate the two, but they're actually pretty much the same. You know, if you really sit down and think, how do you measure love? For most of us, we're going to struggle to separate those two things. And why does that? Because lust, I think as Homer Kennedy said this once, that's great. Lust always takes and never gives. Love always gives and never takes. But we don't know that. It's hard for us to separate the signs, because it's not very often that we actually sit and look, how am I acting out in love? And what does it mean to act out in love? What does it mean to have compassion? So the world has told us that lust and love is the same thing. You know, when a guy can break up with a girl because she doesn't want to sleep with him, all he wants is to take from her. He doesn't care where she's at. He has something that needs to be satisfied, and the only way you can get that satisfaction is by taking it from her. Lust is, actually, you can never be satisfied. Love says you're content with just being able to give something to someone else, or to show that to someone else. Lust says, I need to keep getting. If this girl doesn't want to give it to me, then I'm going to move on to the next person. Yeah. I just upgraded my phone and I was very excited. I just like, what's convicted me so much? It's not just about lusting over the flesh, it's lusting over the material things. You know? Like I said in the offering, you know, so this, God doesn't want us necessarily to look like pompous to be able to show that we love Him. But when we are sinning day in, day out, thinking about the next best thing, we lust. And the thing is with lust, it's a hole that can never be filled. Can never be full. So when a guy says, you know what, I've got to kind of just hop around a bit now and experiment a bit, but when I get married, it will stop. No, it won't. Okay? You're digging a hole in a world of lust that never goes away. Only Jesus can take that away. Okay, so, you know, what is the diluted view of what love is? We find an answer in the Word of God and understand what He's trying to show us. Show us what His love really is. It's diluted, so we can't understand. We can't look at God like, is God really all loving? He is, but you're looking through the wrong goggles. He is all loving, but what you're measuring as being loving is not what love is. If God is love, surely He should define what love is. Surely He should show us and work in us that love. You know, when God says He loves us, we can't understand how God can do things like discipline. Proverbs 3:12 says, the Lord disciplines those whom He loves as a father the son He delights in. God says that's His love. And here's a scary one also. If God loves so much, I've been praying so much for my parents to stay together, how can He still allow things like adultery? How can He? Romans 1:24 and 25 says, therefore God gave them up in their lust of their hearts to impurity, to the suffering of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Worship and serve the creature. It's got nothing to do with God's love. I'm just like, look, I'm where the love is, but if you're going to be looking to the world, you're going to be looking to the people around you. Those are things that I created to define how you love and how your relationships look. You can pray to, I'm sorry, Lord, you can pray to your blue in the face. You should rather pray that your parents get to know me, because when they know me, they'll know what love is, and they'll know what their relationship should look like. And it's got nothing to do with my ability, thank you, God, nothing to do with my ability to love, and it doesn't affect my love towards you. But there are some truths that you've got to understand when you're looking to the world and the things that are created as opposed to me. That is the result. My love dictates that I'm not going to force her and I'm not going to rape you with my love. My love dictates if you choose to look somewhere else, I'm going to step back. I'm not going to tie you to my love post in my room and say, you have to stay there because I love you. And then I know you're not going to go sleep with another guy. I know you're not going to have those inappropriate relationships. God says, my love dictates that I'm not going to punish them, and I'm going to hand them over to the desires that they want. And if they're not desiring after me, unfortunately, it looks like adultery, homosexuality. It looks like all those things. Rape, all those things. That's what it looks like when they're looking for God. And so what does God say? Okay, love according to the creator of all things. Okay? Love according to God. For God, love is not just a feeling. It's not just a feeling. Obviously, you would say, point that when I brought up the first point, you're like, no, love isn't a feeling. Yes, love is not just a feeling. There are some feelings attached to it, obviously, but that's not determined whether or not love is present. Isaiah 54 says, for a brief moment I deserted you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In overflowing anger, for a moment I hid my face from you, but with everlasting love I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. Okay, so if love was just a feeling, surely you would be able to love Israelites as they were us, referring to us here also. Because he was angry. He's angry about a feeling. So if love is just a feeling, anger obviously takes that place. You can't then love if you're angry. So I'm sure in this scripture we've got spoken to Prophet Isaiah. I should guarantee God isn't feeling like he wants to love everybody. But he still said, with everlasting love, I will have compassion in you. At that time, God, I guarantee you, wasn't feeling like he wanted to love. He wasn't feeling like, you know, despite my anger, feeling angry right now, but I'm also feeling like I'm loving you right now. Yes, he deserved it. So love can't just be a feeling. Okay? Love your enemy. Okay, and obviously we've heard this so many times. But the world says, love those who love you. God says, my love means you love regardless of how they respond to you. Luke says, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Well, that's that. God, how can I pray for those who abuse me? I got fired from my job unfairly. I did the best I could and everything I did. I worked with integrity. And then this guy came around and lied 50 different lies to credit for work that I did. And then they fired me because there wasn't space in their budget for me anymore. And I wasn't performing. But I did all that work and he stole it from me. And are you expecting me to love him, to pray for him? God, I think you can pray for him. I'm going to go and be angry with this guy. Because it's not fair. Pray for those who abuse you. Bless those who curse you. Bless those who speak evil of you. Bless those who speak lies of you. Bless those who misunderstand you and say things that aren't true about you. Bless them. Speak good things over them. I guess there's some of you sitting here and you're like, easy for you to say. You've never been hurt, angry, or trust me, I'm human. I've been hurt, I've been angry, I've been bitter. But I'm going to make a decision. I can let it consume me because it doesn't stop with that one individual. Once it consumes you, it's just going to jump from person to person because no one ever is going to be able to be good enough. That's what scripture is adamant. That's what Jesus says, forgive, forgive, forgive. Because once it consumes you, it doesn't stop with the initial perpetrator. It carries on. Who are those who are trying to show love towards you? All you get to see is through this foggy, blurred vision. Because you don't understand the love they're trying to give to you. What it feels like is betrayal. But it's because of the bitterness. It's not betrayal, it's bitterness. Christ says, bless those who speak rubbish about you. Bless those family members who weren't there when you needed them. Bless those parents who abused us as we were growing up. Bless my dad for always saying, not for always saying, but despite the fact he always said I wasn't going to amount to anything. Bless my dad despite the fact that when I didn't make first team, he was like, okay, you know, so far. Bless my dad for the fact that even though I came home 95%, all he could say was, you should have got 100% of this. I've done this with you so much. Where you didn't work hard. Bless him. Lord, bless him. I love him. The reason I love him is because you love me. And but that's difficult because we've been conditioned to respond in another way. He spoke negative things over you, so we can speak negative things back at you. Fire, fight fire with fire. That's because we didn't believe him. And finally, love that gives to satisfy as opposed to taking to satisfy. And this couple of scriptures actually read.
to illustrate this.
Didn't do a scripture for me. I didn't put it on names, so I was just going to read it, but you can read it with me. So now, what brings to what lust is? Lust is about thinking, willing again, willing reward. Whereas love just wants to give. 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also have laid down our lives for the brethren. 4, 9, and 10. In this is that the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the perpetuation of our sins. There's 3 points now, just in one book, in the space of 10 to 12 verses. 3 times it talks about this is God's love. He gave, he sent. He gave, he sent. Constantly. In this is love. God is love. This is what love, God says love is. This is how God shows what love is. He gave his own. Jesus stepped down and sacrificed himself to show love. And that's complete contrast of what the world says love is. When John also talks about we are able to love because God loved us first. We are able to love God because he loved us first. In other words, he first showed us the picture of what love is, before we can even think or contemplate what it means to love it back. Before we can even think or contemplate to love those around us, he first loved us. While we were still sinners, Jesus came down to show the love of God, to show the love of God. In other words, while we were still looking to all the creatures, worshipping all the creatures, worshipping the created things as opposed to the creator, while we were looking around, away from God, he stepped out of his heavenly throne. Come show us what love is. I don't know if you're getting this. Because when you start thinking, love, we're like, what is love? And the biggest challenge for me was, I lived a very adventurous life before being in the world. Adventurous in my relationships. I didn't have any pull in relationships, but my relating, to the opposite sex. And I think in that, just on this last time, God was like, hey, I know you've prayed this prayer, your heart has been open, I put my spirit into you, your child, and I just want you to meditate a bit on this four-letter word. Because when you start meditating into that word, when you start thinking about God's love, you have to think about God, because God is love. When you start talking about all those other things, walking in the light, do something like we read 1 John again. The whole 1 John, one sitting. We talk about, you've got to be in the light, brother. You've got to confess your sins, all that stuff. It says you cannot be in the light if you do not love. It literally says if you say you're in the light, you're walking in truth, in honesty, integrity, in God's presence, but you do not love your brother, do not give yourself, you're in darkness, and you do not know where you're going. Let's leave that. And when you start looking at God's love, you cannot help but look into eternity. Because that's how big it is. When you start contemplating that, you can't help but think, I don't want to sin. In fact, it's not even, I don't even want to think that I don't want to sin. It's just not part of my vocabulary. Because all I can see is God's love. And God's love is just drawing me into eternity. Everything else starts falling by the wayside. The law. All those sort of things we try to shackle people with to make them behave better. All starts falling away as we just start looking towards Jesus. All Jesus wants is for us to be witness to what he's busy doing. To the love that's being poured out by his sacrifice. As people start getting revived to the love of Christ by his sacrifice of Christ. As they start coming before the throne and just be like, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. And God should have just reminded me of the scripture where they're now in the garden and Jesus comes, meets him and gives Jesus a little peck on the cheek and then they shackle him and take him away. But just before that, Peter lashes out the sword and, even people, you're not going to take my Lord. And Jesus is just like, no, put that away. Put the guy's ear back on you. And God just kind of highlighted for me, that's how we sometimes are. The enemy comes in, and things happen, bad things happen. But what do? We run away from Jesus, we want to go take one of those other things. And Jesus says, no, no, no. There is time for that, but right now, the most important thing for you to do is just to bear witness to what I'm about to do. Bear witness for those who are in Christ. Scripture is for those who are in Christ. What for those who are doing all the correct things? For those who understand His love, and His love is going to cause Him to do an amazing thing. So Peter, don't go chopping off ears and taking them on. They come, they have to do this. But when they come and do this, you're going to see My love in action. And all I want you to do is be witness to what I'm about to do. Because in being witness to it, you're going to become My vessel for their love. Then we read scriptures like 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now put that scripture in there because you've read the scripture a million times. But when you really read it, love is patient and kind. Who gets impatient sometimes? Love does not envy or boast. Who sometimes looks at other guys and goes, okay, this is me. He goes, yes. I wish I'd been doing that joke around the world. Okay? Okay? It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. I almost made a marriage joke. But if you're married, you understand that we all do this. Sometimes you just have to insist on your own way. And if you've got a little 2 year old, you know that's part of our lifestyle. But she will put on her clothes. She will put on her own shoes. She will stir her own hot chocolate, which doesn't work very well. It is not irritable or resentful. I get irritated sometimes. It does not rejoice, especially when guys drive behind me on my tail. Ruth me, I'm already going to just be a little bit. And it just irritates me. But that's not what love is. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing, it rejoices in the truth. When you read that, you really read it, and you go, okay, Lord, I'm in You, I'm loving You, all that sort of stuff. Just want some affirmation. I just love that for you. You read that, you start with a smile, and you're kind of like, I just got irritated. My problem. Okay, but we'll flip to others. I wasn't very patient with them. I wasn't very kind to that father of that either. Well, when you read that, you realize, yes, Lord, I can't love that. I can't love like that. I really can't. But the exciting thing is when you look at that, it shouldn't be judgment that falls over you, condemnation. Like, oh, I'm such a because none of us can love God. None of us can love God. It's impossible for any of us to say, oh, I'm such a great lover because God works in me. You can't love like that without Jesus. 1 John 4 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God. Most of that comes from him soon. So you can't love like that. Because love is from God. So without God, without Jesus, without you being found in Jesus Christ, you cannot love like that. So when you read that, you read it through your fleshly goggles and you're like, Lord, okay, cool. Let's see, I'm going to get this right. Don't kid yourself, you're not going to get it right. Because you've got to understand love comes from God. God is love. Scripture says the only way we get love like that is we need to be born of God. We need to be found in Him. Because when you find Him, when you know Him, when you have that intimate relationship with Him, it's not about you trying to love people. It's about God just manifesting His love through you. So I'm coming back to it starts to love God with all of your soul. Love God with everything. And it's not about you trying to do anything. It's about that thing when it manifests through your life. When we truly know what it means to love God, no one's going to have to beg you and plead you to serve in church or to go to our preachers.
were to go
hand out food parcels when there's a flooding, a fire, or an earthquake, or tornado, whatever it is, no one's going to have to ask you to do that. Your spirit is still aligned with what God is busy doing. Bono once said, I don't know if any of you have seen that. Who was going to meet him? Was it Rip? Not Rip Warren? Rip Joy? Or some guy from where he was interviewing Bono. And Bono said, people are always asking God to use them, to work in them, to move through them. God, where are you? What are you doing now? And Bono was a big philanthropist. He's saying, really, his response actually was, we keep praying the wrong prayers. Because God is already where there is. God is already where there is need. God is already busy working. Our response should literally just be like, God, lead me to where you are busy working, where you want to make your love manifest right now. And his love manifest is not going to, his love is not going to manifest when it comes to him. His love is not going to manifest at all with our weekly, once a week trip to church. You know what, this is great now, you can stir and you can move. But look at these empty chairs. Each one of these empty chairs represents someone who's possibly dying, whose view of what love is being polluted daily. And the more it gets polluted, the more it becomes that lust, the further away they get pulled from life. And this isn't, like I said, this isn't a condemnation message. This is a message about exploring the love of Christ. So I guarantee when you do that, this wall is not going to be big enough for people who are just going to come together on a Sunday. What are we doing? We just celebrate. It's not going to be a sermon. We're just going to be having testimony upon testimony of lives being changed. Maybe there's not going to be time for a sermon. It's just going to be healings. And people just declaring their love for this living God who took them out of the gutters and brought them back to life. Because there's no hope in the world. There is no hope. We say this often, but when you go and you see that hopelessness in action, how the devil has come and just literally chopped people's limbs from underneath their Congo. I was in Congo last year. That was in 2013. That was last year. Went to Congo. And that was my first glimpse of how, my first real glimpse and opening of how bad we need Jesus to come back. There needs to be an urgency, people, for Jesus to come back. And he said he's only going to come back when everybody's in the gospel. And I would like to respond, but everybody in the whole world needs to obey the name of Jesus Christ. We're over there, we're in this orphanage where there's this Catholic priest, one of those Catholic orphanages, and again we're like, oh, Catholic people, this guy is from France. Obviously, he was at one stage extremely wealthy. Took his whole inheritance and put it into the orphanage to build it up and fix it up. Because obviously in Congo, the infrastructure is like terrible. Terrible. I mean, it's hard to explain how bad it is. And like, I'm not so happy. So anyway, we're in this orphanage and this priest starts taking us around to the different rooms where different kids with different ages, different needs, all this sort of stuff. Oh, so you've got your HIV kids, your TB kids, but they're all orphans for the most part. There's obviously a part where kids maybe want orphans, the parents maybe have brought them just to get better, and they go again. But we looked at all the kids, 95% of them are orphans. So he took us to these different rooms. He took us to this one room where you've got some little babies. And I'll show you this a couple of times because every time in the past, But he takes us to this room, and as you're walking, the first room we're going to, I just don't know. Because it just hits me. Our business, the pain, and the enemy has just stolen right under our noses, he's stolen these lives. And these people who, what have they done? They were born into a sinful world, and everything was taken from them before they even knew they had. So anyway, I'm really, really emotional, because at that stage my baby was just born, so she was about 8 months. He takes us into this room, and it's about a 6 to 8 month old baby, and he tells us, this baby was born there, just a couple of weeks or months before we came. They found the baby in the gut. Some random person walked past this baby and was lying in the gut and was crying. It was born with no arms or legs. And the parents were like, well,
ministries maybe out in the
Someone by chance walked past, picked the baby up and went in there. But what really hit me then wasn't just the fact that this baby was crying there. And when the priest came to pick him up, he just stopped crying. He was just kind of like standing in the arms of the father. He's not where the father is, but he just knows it's right. He should be like, stops crying. We go on in his kids with mental disabilities. So that really, I can't take it. My baby's the same age as us. I can't imagine him being in the gutter somewhere. You know? And then we moved on a bit to the next room gets even worse. Can't take it. Eventually I'm like trying to get away from the kids. I'm standing in the corner, I'm just crying. Small thing thrown out, I'm just crying. I just can't take it. And we go to the next room where it's all the children with mental disabilities. All of them, but they are so full of love. They see us, they just want to hug us and come up to us and all that sort of stuff. And this isn't just a Congo. You can go anywhere, it's the same thing. But we go in there, and again, I get hit by the wave, which is God's compassion. I mean, God's literally, at that time, breaking all of our presence. So I can't stop crying. So eventually, I've isolated myself in a corner. Like, I'm literally just standing back over this. And I'm just crying, and the trees, and the kids are playing with all the other people from the missions team. And there's this little girl, there's a room just on the side of the main hall. In this room is where all the girls have been abused, raped, raised. Only girls are like that. No, no, I mean, only the priest is allowed to go in there. Only girls are allowed to go in there. Anyway, so I'm standing there, and this little girl comes up, she literally just walks over. She comes out, and I'm trying to distance myself from all these other kids. All the other the mission people, trying to go greet her, they, you know, like, trying to call her puppy, they're looking too close. And she just keeps walking away, And I'm like, I'm like, eye contact with any of these kids. So all the leaders are trying to get these kids. This is how God works. This is when you think he can't break you anymore to see what he's trying to do. He does something like that. So you know, I'm in the corner crying. This girl walks away from all these other people. She looks up to me. And I just happen, my timing was terrible, I just happen to look up and she makes eye contact. But she's also brain damaged now from all the abuse and stuff like that. She looks at me, walks away from all the other leaders, then comes crying, takes my hand. And it's almost like, in that brokenness, she wants to comfort me. And all I can think of is, Jesus, you need to come back soon. Because outside of these walls of all nature, these kids reach 18, there's no hope. You know, we live in this country, it doesn't have anything on most of the other countries. Because there's at least some sort of infrastructure, there's still no hope, but there's something outside of the walls. This girl, brain damaged. A woman who has been stolen so many times, no one can even count and remember. She comes in their progress, she comes to comfort me. And all I want to do is just run away. I think that's, God just came to show me that's how he feels. But everybody, whether you're a child born with no arms or legs, whether or not you're a rich businessman somewhere, you've got everything you're going for you. If you don't understand his love, there is no hope. If you don't understand his love, you can never be a good Christian. Because all he wants us to do is to understand his love. So if you understand his love, all other things will fall in place. You know, just like an encouraging, loving dad, you'll do everything in your power to not disappoint him. Because you feel so empowered and so invigorated by just the affirmation you get from him. That's not all it is. John 4:16, so we've come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So we have come to know and believe the love God has for us. And we all these stories. I must understand because I'm going to end up with this now. And I'm not talking what I'm about sharing now is not about the coochie theory, lovey dovey. God's love is powerful. is discipline in it, there's obedience in it. All those sort of things, but it starts with knowing what it means to love, knowing what's God's love is, and all those other things fall in place. And if they're not falling in place, it's because you're not in Christ, not abiding in Him. You might have said a prayer once upon a time, but you've not taken up that position and just been witness to what God is busy doing in and around you. Somehow, something's come along, something's hurt you, something's broken you down, and you stepped out of your position in Christ, and you're just walking alongside Him suffering. Do you believe that God loves you? I'm going to ask the man just to sing another song again. But we're not going to have that shot you for a moment. Just to close your eyes. And I want you to explore, just that poor little word. I'm going to ask that, do you believe that God loves you? Because if God is love, and whoever abides in love, abides in God. And God abides in Him. So we're almost finished. Nice and early. Now I'm asking for a moment. You can explore those. Just that word. And what does God's love mean to you in your life? And what is it busy doing in you and through you? Because if it's not doing something in you and through you, in other words, other people are not experiencing your love, all those things that love isn't, it's not in you, it's all that stuff. God isn't experiencing that when people aren't experiencing that around you. Just ask God to show what it means to love, to reveal Himself as the God who is love, so that you can abide in Him.
Nothing can separate me, even if I run away. Thank you.
understanding of God's love for you. We're not talking about other people in your life. It's just finding it hard to love the way you know you should. And I think it starts with having an understanding of what God's love really is for you. You're struggling to believe that God really loves you. Things have happened in your life, they've been hurt, all those sort of things. The band's just going to play gently in the background. But if you're struggling to believe that God still loves you, too many things have happened for God to really fix you. I want to ask you just to be bold. I want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. We want to ask that God will just open your eyes, open your heart to see and to know that He does love you. And it's not a matter that He stopped loving you, but the things of the world started coming and clouding your ability to see and to walk in that love. And that is you. I want to ask you just to be bold and just come to the front of the side and pray with you. And God will just start opening your heart again. Be able to flow. We just need to be vessels of God's love for working us and through us. And then as we ask you to just step to the front, out of the second group of people, you maybe don't know how to love, but for whatever reason, you're not abiding in Christ anymore. You either once upon a time, you were a little bit younger, and you said, Jesus, become Lord of my heart. I want to walk in you. I want to know what it means to be a child of God. Or maybe you've never done that. But you need to come back to that place. I'm saying, Jesus, be Lord of my life. I want to abide in you. So if you've fallen to any one of those categories, either you've never done it before, or you've had it once upon a time, but it seems like such a distant memory that you know it's not part of your life right now. And also just feel, well, everybody's eyes is closed, and they're still just in that moment of connecting with God. I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand right where you are right now. Is anybody like that? Is anybody like that? Anybody else? We just need to come back to that place of saying, Jesus, Lord, take the reins of my life. I want to walk in that love. Is anybody else? Give me a couple more seconds. And we are done. And also, if you put up your hand now, for most of us, we wonder why we have to do this. The reason we do this, so that's the most important thing for why we get here, why we get equipped this day, so people can come to that place of saying, Jesus, you're the Son of God, be Lord of my life. I want to walk with you into eternity. So I'm going to ask you, could you have just to come to the front here so we can all together pray we can celebrate the fact that you're stepping into this kingdom of fresh and renew and renew. And if you're a bit shy, take someone's hand next to you and tell them I need to be in front of you right now. Don't let this moment pass. Okay? Don't let this moment pass. Just like that little girl again take my hand. God is doing the exact same thing now. And He's also doing it with tears in His eyes. Tears of joy. But also tears of just knowing what you've been through and where you're going to get. Still maybe there's one more guy. The guy there, I promise you. If you don't feel brave enough, ask someone next to you, but don't let this moment go by.